Baraboo.
CBS News Brief. An agreement between General Motors and striking auto workers, the last of the big three employees to reach a deal in the six-week-old walkout. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
The strike has already cost GM and other car makers billions of dollars, and the generous settlements will likely mean billions more.
Israel says it's begun the next stage of its ground war in Gaza. CBS's Remy Innocencio reports from Tel Aviv.
Israeli troops backed by tanks pushed further into the enclave, and it appears the most recent IDF video shows tanks on the western coast trying to surround Gaza City.
A vigil for the 18 people killed by gunman Robert Card in Lewiston, Maine. Kayla Maria's uncle was among the victims.
Tonight was so beautiful, like the church, the interpreter, the deaf community, like everyone was there. It's just like, it felt like love there.
Card was found dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound on Friday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 60 hospitals in Wisconsin say they lost money last year. That compares to only 21 the year before. Hospital officials say costs rose faster than revenue. The price of supplies and services have climbed more than 26% since 2019. Salaries and fringe benefits have gone up by almost 14%. Medicare and Medicaid payments make up more than half a hospital's income, but the industry says reimbursement rates fall short. Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan both say they'd back a continuing resolution to keep the government open and funded through April. Lawmakers are racing to avoid another government shutdown by November 17th. Both lawmakers were guests on WISN-TV's Upfront program. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Chad Allen Goldberg, the president of a University of Wisconsin-Madison group that represents employee interests, is calling out state leadership over the higher education budget standoff. Republican lawmakers have withheld $32 million in funding for universities of Wisconsin schools in an effort to end diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. He also said state leaders and Universities of Wisconsin president Jay Rothman are derelict in their duties, comments which were called baseless by a UW spokesperson. Republican lawmakers are claiming students need free speech protections on University of Wisconsin campuses. According to a Center Square report, the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities held a public hearing for plans to ensure Universities of Wisconsin students are respecting the First Amendment. The push comes after a survey found some students choose not to express their views on controversial topics out of fear of getting canceled. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting at times he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 35 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be cloudy with some light snow developing by late evening. We could get a half inch to an inch by tomorrow. 26 the high tomorrow. Flurries in the morning. Windy. Clearing in the afternoon with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. Just a reminder, every Wednesday, the new mom at 10:33 joins the show to give us an update on little Frankie Lou. I was going to see her yesterday, and then Kristen had a real busy day with other people stopping in. So this coming weekend is going to be my Francis weekend.
All right.
I'm very excited. I'm also very excited about our next guest. And actually, this was a listener who brought this organization to our attention. Harry Pulliam is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, and he is joining us now on the phone. Good morning, Harry.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
I think I'm okay, thanks. I think I have a warm spot someplace.
Well, that's good. Harry, tell us about Sustain Rural Wisconsin. And again, it was a listener who brought your organization to our attention and said, you need to talk to these people. So what is it that you do?
Well, Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network has been around for almost 10 years. We are a fairly loose-knit organization or coalition, if you will, of citizen groups around the state who are concerned with water quality and the adverse effects of industrial agriculture, industrial farming activities on public health and water quality.
So when you talk about the effect, are you talking about these CAFOs, these large animal operations?
We're talking, I think the term is typically called CAFOs, but you can pronounce it however you want to. A lot of folks don't even use the acronym. They just say factory farms. Sometimes they say industrial livestock operations. That's pretty much what we're talking about. That's the primary culprit in this situation.
Well, and for surrounding communities, I mean, how many animals are we talking about at some of these operations?
Well, just by state law, the typical CAFO, if you will, is about 700, 750 dairy cows. They call it 1,000 animal units. If you're talking about hogs, it's like 2,500 hogs or 2,500 animal units. With chickens, it can be several thousand.
And the biggest issue is what we do with the waste of all these animals, correct?
Exactly, that's the primary issue.
And what is the current?
Some of these
go ahead, Harry.
Some of these operations produce millions and millions of gallons of waste, and it is waste every year. There's an outfit called Pinnacle Dairy in outside of Broadhead, Wisconsin, Greene County, that produces 94 million gallons of manure every year from 5,800 cows sited on 127 acres of essentially wetlands, been tiled for years beside an already impaired stream. And they spread that manure over about 7,000 acres throughout about three counties.
Wow. That is really a lot to wrap your brain around.
It's hard to conceptualize that amount of manure.
Well, and that's not even, there's an article that I found from WPR. There was a proposal in 2019, a developer known as Cumberland LLC proposed an operation with 26,000 pigs.
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's still in the works. Sustainable Wisconsin Network and its affiliate groups have been successful for a couple, 3 years now in staving off that installation. It's currently under review. The permit was once denied because they didn't have, they have to have a certain number of acres to spread their manure on. Usually it's in contract. They don't own that land. They contract with farmers who take it as fertilizer. In so many cases, these operations say on paper that they have so many acres, but when you go back to the people whose land they're supposed to be spreading on, those people say, well, we never sign any paperwork. So it's been sleight of hand, we've been able to stave it off for a while. There are several communities, I'd say five, six communities in northwestern Ohio and Burnett County, where this Polk and Burnett counties, where this one operation was planned on being sited, who have developed operations ordinances, not to say, no, you can't come, but, if you come, you have to behave, and this is how you need to behave.
If you're just joining us, Harry Pulliam is our guest. He is the Vice President of Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, and they really focus on trying to keep our water clean and keep people engaged. Harry, I can't even imagine for people who live around these large farms, what do you hear from those folks?
Well, like I said, we've been hearing stories for years. Over in Kewaunee County, that's probably the poster child for the effects of industrial agriculture. They have far more animals than people in Kewaunee County, and there are people over there who were on the county board who had manure coming out of their faucets, brown water coming out of their faucets.
Wow!
Really?
Really? And I've seen pictures. I can send you pictures.
Can I just believe you? I don't have to.
Well, you can certainly believe me.
Yeah. I don't need to see pictures.
All this stuff is backed up by data. It's not like it's scare-tastic tactics. We're trying to let the general public know. And generally, folks in urban areas, they don't think about it because, if you have a problem with a well in an urban area, everybody goes crazy. They crush it down the well. They move people's water supplies to other places. They pipe in water from someplace else. But the folks in rural areas, if they have a problem with their well, for instance, in Emerald, Wisconsin, which is in St. Croix County, right across the Emerald Town Hall, is right across the street from Emerald Sky Dairy, which is a major CAFO. Their nitrates in their water, which are allowable at 10 parts per million, are now over 50. Folks around the state are having that kind of problem every day.
Well, and it's certainly, dairy is a critically important industry in this state, and I don't think anybody wants us to lose more dairy farms. But when you're talking about numbers like this one that was proposed for these pigs in Polk and Burnett counties, 26,000 animals, how can you even care for this number of animals in the way that's required for them to be healthy?
Well, that's another question. It's something that we don't necessarily concern ourselves, although we're concerned about it. We don't necessarily work on animal rights or animal welfare questions, but there are so many other things that we need to address. But that certainly is a concern.
Well, if someone is listening and they would like to get involved, Harry, what could they do?
What I would suggest folks do is go to our website, which is sustainruralwisconsin.org, and take a look. We have a nice website with lots of information. We have, I like to direct people to this area of the website called Reality Check. And that's a series of about 30, 31 slides that you can scroll through that explain. They have pictures, and they explain at the top what the industry calls something and what it actually is.
What examples can you share with us, Harry?
Oh, gee whiz, trying to think off the top of my head. concentrate. You'll have a picture of as far as the eye can see, you see hogs. And they'll say, concentrate animal feeding operation. What does that tell you? But at the very bottom of the picture, it'll say, you know, thousands of hogs in confinement in situations where they can't even turn around.
I am looking at the website right now, that section, and holy cow.
Or holy pig.
Holy pig. Holy oinkers.
Yeah, you're so true, you know. And then there are, what we found and why this organization got off the ground, I think, is that so often small communities are beset with these installations planning to come in, and they don't have a clue how to deal with it. They're concerned, they're worried, they've read about other situations, other parts of the state, but they don't have a frame of reference on how to address it. What's the first thing I need to do to protect myself and my family? And so they can go to the website. There are a whole series of suggestions on ways what you can begin to do, who you can contact, and how you can try to protect your family.
Boy, and we need to figure out something else to do with manure.
Well, yeah, we do. Historically, you were talking about numbers of farms. We lose about a farmer and a half a day.
A day still.
And what's happening is the industry is being encouraged by the federal government, actually, to concentrate, to get bigger and bigger farms and more confinement. Historically, I mean, you see these pictures of red barns and the cows on pasture and so forth, and some folks still do that. I was at a farm yesterday in Greene County where they have 40 or 50 cows, and that's how they do it. And the cows are healthier. They last longer. They have their milking cows that are 12 years old, whereas in a CAFO, they're lucky if they live to 3 or 4.
Seriously?
Wow. I mean, honestly, by looking at the pictures in the Reality Check project, that doesn't surprise me.
No, not really. Yeah, it's really so big. But you know, so we're getting fewer and fewer farms, but we're not losing numbers of cattle. And what we're hollowing out rural communities, because you know, when one of these big operations comes in and says, "Gee whiz, we're gonna employ all sorts of people, we're gonna spend all our money locally, it'll be a boon to your economy." Well, actually, they buy all their inputs from someplace else, some other large outfit.
Harry, hang on for 1 second. We got to go to a break. We just got a couple of minutes in the break. If you can stick with us, I'd really appreciate it for another segment.
Not a problem.
Excellent. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us, Harry Pulliam. We'll be back with us when we come back. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Talk about an uphill battle.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 20 minutes past 11 o'clock. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the phone. He is the vice president of Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. Harry Pulliam is here talking about trying to keep our water clean. And good heavens, what do we do? We're drowning in manure. Harry, some of the numbers that you gave when we were talking at the beginning of the other segment, just about one operation that's had about 1,700 cattle and yet had almost 100 million gallons of manure from those 1,700 cattle on an annual basis, that just blows my mind.
Well, in actuality, they have 5,800 cattle on 127 acres.
Okay, 5,800.
5,800 milking, 5,800 cattle on 127 acres. Place looks like a small city.
I bet. And as you said before we came up to the break, these companies come in and make all of these promises, which unfortunately just don't seem to come to fruition.
Well, you look around Wisconsin, and we used to have very thriving small communities, you know, 400 or 500 people, 1,000 people, 1,200 people. And some of them are just ghost towns now. There might be a gas station. There might be a dollar store. But they're not nearly what they used to be. I live outside New Glarus, Wisconsin. My wife and I farm organically. And New Glarus back in the 50s had 3 car dealerships, 3 or 4 implement dealers, two clothing stores, 3 grocery stores, with about the same population as now. But in 1960s, they decided, wow, everything's going to the devil here. We can't make any money. So they went to the went to the tourist route. And they Swissified everything, and now we see half a million people come through the town every year. But not a lot of communities have that situation.
Sure.
And you see what's happening. So the big operations buy all their equipment. They import labor from, in many cases, from other countries. And they don't buy stuff locally. So it's just a sap on not only on the environment, but on the community that they're supposedly supposed to be supporting.
Well, and this pressure to constantly get bigger just seems counterintuitive to me. It does.
Well, it's counterintuitive to a lot of people. You know, again, when you think of farming, you think the red barn with a few cows out in the pasture and people's happy and the house is well painted, and that's not the case anymore in most cases. The push to get bigger, there's a big ag lag, a big ag lobby, and folks in Congress and in the administration in many cases believe what they have to say about the direction of the industry, and it's hollowing out rural communities.
Harry Pulliam is our guest. He is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. I really encourage you to go to their website, sustainruralwisconsin.org. Go to the CAFO toolkit and then go down to the Reality Check Project. Greg had mentioned this. There is just some horrifying pictures on there, Harry.
Well, I think that's it's intentional because people get a glossy view. There's a narrative out there that that technology is going to is going to benefit us, and we can overcome all the problems related to industrial agricultural technology, and that's simply not true.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in. The money in politics is making our lives so much worse in so many different ways.
Yeah.
When you talk about these lobbying groups, Harry, and this push to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it's terrifying. And yet we're losing our little farmers. We're gaining these massive operations, and yet at the same time, as you mentioned, Harry, we're hollowing out these little communities.
Yep.
Well, that's so true. And now the industry has—I call it the industry—has taken a different tack. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is an industry group, as you well know, they have a fairly newly active litigation group, they call it. So basically, right now they're in the process of suing the DNR on the behalf of the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance, and which is a group of CAFOs, a very small group, actually, I think about six, some of them major polluters already. And the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance, Wisconsin Farm Bureau, by the way, suing the DNR to tell them that you don't have the right to require permits for these operations. And just recently, as I mentioned earlier in the earlier segment, that there's a small group of small towns in northwestern Wisconsin in Polk and Burnett counties have instituted operations ordinances to say, no, we're not saying you can't come here, but you have to do things like submit plans for preventing infectious diseases, air pollution and odor, managing waste and handling dead animals, traffic and property value impact studies, surety for cleanup and decommissioning of an outfit if it happens to go out of business, and a permit fee. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, on behalf of some folks locally who don't even own farms, are suing these towns, saying that their operations ordinances are contrary to state law. They are what's called slap suits.
They're
efforts to keep small communities from protecting themselves.
Yep. We talked about those before. Yeah.
Well, and we got just a couple of minutes left before we have to go to break, Harry. Again, if we don't have clean water to drink and we're going to get poisoned from the water that's contaminated with manure, you have no one to sell your milk to.
That's one way of looking at it.
Brilliant, Jane. Brilliant.
Again, if you're going to poison your own customers, this seems like a bad business model.
Well, you know, I don't want to wax poetic here or philosophical, but so often in big business, the concern for the general public is not paramount.
Harry Pulliam is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. I highly encourage you to check out their website. We will post it along with the show notes at the end of the show. Harry, thank you so very much for joining us. We will have to have you back and keep us in the loop. Anything we should know about.
That.
Thank you so very much.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Stay with us. I see you. We got a couple people hanging on the line with some questions about farms. If you can stay with us through the break, that would be great. We are coming back right after the news. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate see a lot in the bill to maintain American Family Field that they do not like. State Senator Kelda Royce was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. She says she doesn't think any Senate Democrat would vote for the bill as it stands. Republicans who run the Senate say they likely need some Democrats to vote for the bill. Negotiations over amendments are happening now. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has unveiled the draft of their sharp-tailed grouse management plan for the next 10 years. The plan will be open to public comment until November 17th, and residents can also provide comments during a public meeting on November 8th. The plan would focus management on the existing core of grouse in northern Wisconsin, develop cooperative partnerships between public and private organizations, and implement habitat strategies to maintain population. Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin have proposed two bills to address gun violence in the wake of the mass shooting in Maine. The bills were proposed in the state Senate, one of which would implement a 48-hour waiting period on handgun purchases, and another that would launch a voluntary self-exclusion program, allowing people to put themselves on a list to ensure they don't gain access to a gun. The lawmakers hope the bills will be a first step to ending gun violence in the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting at times he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has
partly
you covered.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get BugTussle to around 35 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be cloudy with some light snow developing by late evening. We could get a half inch to an inch by tomorrow. 26 the high tomorrow. Flurries in the morning. Windy. Clearing in the afternoon with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Online at thetap.fm.
Okay.
I'm the son of a third generation farm.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt Mayer in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. We just talked to Harry Pulliam from the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, talking about these CAFOs, these large animal operations, and the issues with manure and trying to get rid of it. We have a couple callers who've been hanging on through the break. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. Keith from Middleton. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Man, there's so much in this conversation to go into. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to say just one real quick thing because it popped in my head. During the break there, the news segment was talking about the DNR being sued for the wolves by the farmers. And it occurs to me that we have a huge number of single-issue voters, especially in the farm community. And I was hoping Harry could answer this question for me, but he's gone. If we're going to allow our legislatures, such as Derek Van Orden from District 3, to be elected on issues like the wolves or abortion, things like that, and yet all he does is promote the large CAFOs that everyone's complaining about right now through the farm bill and his lack of work on the farm bill, we're going to get what we deserve. There's so many parts of this, so many nuances to politics that people are just caught up in these single issues of, oh, we can't have abortion, we can't have gay rights, we can't have voting rights. You know, things like this that we get caught up in, we forget about the issues that actually pertain to us, such as CAFOs, that are so much more dangerous than the wolves are. And I don't know where to go with that, because I'd love to have Harry's response as a farmer to my comment about that. Do you see where I'm going? And I have a couple more questions if I can.
Yeah, absolutely, Keith. And I don't disagree with you. It is ultimately people voting against their own best interests. And I do think that that is why particularly one political party likes to focus on those hot button cultural issues. Instead of saying, and here's how our policies really don't make your life better. It's like, look over here at this scary thing that's coming for you.
It's sleight of hand.
It's about confusing people with these hot button culture issues.
Absolutely.
So they don't look more closely at the policies that they're implementing that don't work in their favor.
So my other point was going to go into, we talk about the CAFOs and so forth. And as consumers, now I've been an executive chef in clubs and resorts, private clubs and resorts, restaurants all over this country for over 40 years. Just recently moved back to Wisconsin from out west. And one of my goals in every place where I was to get a relationship with local farmers and try to buy all the products that I possibly could.
Sure.
Wisconsin, especially Madison, has a huge farmers market community. If we as consumers were to put aside for a second paying an extra 25 to 30 cents or even a dollar a pound more for products by going to the farmer's market instead of going to Walmart or the dollar store or even Woodman's. I know they're a local company. I love them. But we have to make that investment in ourselves in order to make it justifiable for the farmers to stay in business. A local small farmer has overhead that is much higher than those large CAFOs per animal.
Sure.
That's just reality. So as consumers, we have to make the decision, you know what, I'll pay the extra to know that I'm putting Harry's family through college by supporting his business instead of putting the CEO from Walmart who knows where the hell he lives through college.
Bentonville, Arkansas.
Right. I mean, there's just so many parts of this conversation. You know, we have local restaurants in the Madison area claiming, oh, we're using local products. But yet you go in there in January and they're saying they have local produce. I'm sorry. There's no local produce in Wisconsin in January unless you've got a huge greenhouse.
Right.
And you can't continue to lie to our consumers and get away with it with impunity.
And the problem. Go on, man.
Go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say the problem is, too, is the moment we try to step back and say, let's try to do these things to, you know, support our local farmers, eat fresher, healthier foods from farmers markets, people lose their minds. And then they go to the easy thing of saying, well, I love my freedom and I want to be able to do what I want. And I want, if I want to eat stuff from a CAFO, I'll eat stuff from a CAFO. I don't care. And it's about never being able to frame the conversation in a way that says what we could do will be advantageous to farmers. It'll hit you a little bit more in the pocketbook, but not thousands of dollars a year, unless you're, you have a huge family, but you'll be helping the farmers, you're helping revenue in the state, and you're helping yourself.
But again, I think we've gotten away from doing anything for the greater good. It's all about me.
Yeah.
It's all about me. And, you know, as you said, I'm gonna eat food from a CAFO, whether you like it or not. Yeah. It's freedom. That's where we are.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part. It's so unfortunate that I'm not even talking about like as a team, like arm in arm, I'm just saying, you know, hey, pick up some leafy greens, pick up some tomatoes, pick up some cucumbers. Start there.
Right.
And then go, you know, and expand outwards. But like, you can do that. That's easy. That's not hard.
Keith, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 262 says, high nitrates in groundwater come not only from manure, but from the huge amounts of nitrogen fertilizers applied to poor soil, especially in the Central Sands area of Wisconsin. I know. It's just, and another texter from the 608, many of the family farms you see while driving around Wisconsin are not family farms. Big ag companies buy the farm, rent out the house to make it look like it's still a family farm.
And a lot of, and some of those family farms too are family farms, farms owned by family under contract by
Big companies.
And yeah, we see that a lot in the chicken industry. Big, you know, those big chicken companies, they come to your farm and say, hey, you want to do this? Then they throw a contract down and says, all right, you got to pay this, this, and this. And if you don't do this, this, and this, we'll sue you and you will have nothing. So, yeah, I mean, there has to be, if only there was an elected official who said, farmers, I've got your back. Possibly from the 3rd district.
Well, you have to be in the country.
Fair point. Sorry.
It's nice if you're in the district in which you represent.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
844-967-2789. Ross from Soldiers Grove has been hanging on. Thank you for your patience, Ross. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And kudos to this conversation, because in Wisconsin and everywhere, this is really huge, and especially in this modern world where there's more and more people on the planet, and how do you feed them, and how do you feed them reasonably, you know, not too expensively. So I'm a retired healthcare person. I'm not a farmer, but I've always tried to buy organic and grass-fed meat. And a year ago, I took a class. I audited a class down at the university in Madison, and it was a grassland class. And it was really interesting because they talked about farming specifically. I thought it was going to be more about prairies, and it really had a big emphasis on farming. And what they were saying was that grass-fed beef, grass-fed dairy, it actually can save money for the farmer. So because they're not paying for heavy equipment, they're not paying for fertilizer and seeds every year, that money that they save from that obviously can go, and when they sell their products as organic or just grass-fed, and when we as customers buy that, they can make a living. And so and from what I understood from the class is that these farmers actually enjoy farming again. They're not just driving a tractor and hauling cow manure from point A to point B, but they're moving cattle from one field to another, and it feels like farming again. And these people they're in Wisconsin, they're probably all across the country, and they're doing it. You know, they're doing it right now. The other benefit is that grass-fed dairy and beef allows, let's just say, grassland birds, which are threatened right now, to exist. So the benefits are to the environment, both in less pollution and less nitrogen for fertilizer, and it allows these endangered grassland birds to coexist much better. And why are grassland birds endangered right now? Because of monoculture farming. And so even though that I think the one point I was going to disagree a little bit, Jane, with, I don't think people are purposely, you know, giving the middle finger to the environmentalists. I really think that as humans, we're driven by price. But if people can afford it, if they're willing to just pay a couple pennies more, buy grass-fed, buy organic, let these farmers grow. Once there's more of them, the products will get cheaper, and it'll just be a more sustainable way of living.
You make really good points, Ross. Yeah. You absolutely do. And I'm telling you, after having looked at some of these pictures at the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, I am going to find a chicken, a free-range chicken place, because I had people, I'm telling you, we don't realize how these animals are treated in some of these facilities.
We do,
but we don't want to.
We know that animals are treated poorly in some things. We want to believe that where we buy our food isn't where it's happening, when really it's happening
everywhere.
All over. So
I mean, one of these pictures is essentially of a bunch of chickens. Their space is as big as an iPad.
Yeah,
and that's where they spend all of their lives.
Yep, it's. Yeah, we just did a big grocery thing yesterday.
Where did you shop?
I will not tell you. It definitely didn't rhyme with Marget.
Okay, you lost me on that one.
It was Target.
Okay. Ross,
and Kroger's.
Ross, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it. We got time for one more call before we go up against the break. Tyler in New Berlin. Good morning, Tyler. Thanks for checking in with us.
Good morning. You got to watch out for that grass-fed, too, because in wintertime, it's kind of hard to graze cattle in Wisconsin. So some of it can be kind of lucrative as it's labeled. So that's all I got to say about it, you know. But a lot of times that grass-fed isn't exactly what it's supposed to be.
What it's being marketed as?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you feel about free-range chickens, Tyler?
I do, but it's not sustainable around here. You can't free raise chickens in the middle of winter. You know what I mean?
Well, we need to talk to a chicken farmer.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm gonna have to find a chicken farmer, Tyler.
Yeah, there's gotta be ways of taking care of that. I mean, yeah. So
thank you so much for checking in. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. It's a lot to digest.
I don't like you right now.
Bad pun?
There's no such thing as a bad pun. There's only a pun. Puns, it's alone. That's the eye of the beholder. Sometimes it's a pun.
It's a pun.
It was actually, I don't know if it was a pun. It was a play on words.
Fine.
There you go.
Okay.
There.
How are you feeling about food now?
Reading the website that I went right to the reality check, I'm kind of like, was being vegan a really good idea?
I bet it seems like it now.
But there are, you know, and please don't at me. There are arguments to be made about, you know, the way that vegetables are grown and the pesticides and the cost of water and all those things. So, like, there's truly, like, you can find something and everyone will be like, well, guess what? Shake your finger.
Yeah, that's
so
true too.
But yeah, maybe it's a time to have a conversation with Bridget and say, all right, let's sit down and make better food purchase choices.
I think that's a conversation worth having, Greg Bach. All right, we got one more break. I hope you will stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On my international harvester. Cussing at me won't save you no time, hoss. This big wheel, by Lord, ain't going any faster. So just smile and wave and tip your hat to the man up on the tractor. Cause I'm the son of a third generation farmer. I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter. I got two boys in the county 4-H. I'm a lifetime sponsor of the FFA. I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes...
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 10 minutes before a high noon and the kickoff of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board and Greg Bach is here as well. And you can always check in with us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We were talking really the last hour just about farming in Wisconsin and trying to deal with these large animal feeding operations. And gosh, what do we do with all that manure? Gosh, there's a lot of it. And we were talking about free-range chickens and other options to benefit our farmers and benefit our environment at the same time. And Angie from Monroe checking in on the text line from the 608. I'm working right now, so I can't call in, but I raise free-range chickens in Wisconsin. There are a lot of us here in Wisconsin. I actually shovel a path for my chickens. I'm not sure everyone does that, but mine are spoiled.
See, that's what when, you know, absolutely no disrespect to Tyler, what he was saying, but like, I felt like I know people who have chickens. I've seen chickens. If they're raising chickens, then there has to be a plan for winter.
Well, and chickens don't eat grass.
No, they eat chicken feed.
Right. So if you shovel a path for them, I would assume then you put the feed down for them and that's where they eat.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there's like warming things so they don't freeze to death.
Right. See? Okay.
Solutions. See? Solutions.
Solutions. Well,
this show is all about solutions, people. Calvin's birthday and solutions.
There we go. That's the new title of the show.
Yeah.
While Kristen is gone, she's going to love that.
Yeah.
Moving on to trick or treat. A lot of places are tomorrow night.
I am so.
On the actual day of Halloween.
So dumb.
Why is it dumb?
My trick-or-treat in Kenosha, my neighborhood, is Tuesday, tomorrow,
yeah.
The 31st.
Yes.
From 4 to 7. What time did your parents get home from work when you were growing up?
My father was a mortician. He worked at home.
Okay, let's pretend you were a normal person. What time does your, like, 5:30, 6
dinner
o'clock?
Time. It's
yeah,
dinner
so
time.
5:30. So that means 5:30, you get home. Are you going to take your kids right out immediately? No, they're going to get them all ready. You got to get them going. They're not going to get out till 5:45, maybe 6 o'clock if you don't want to do dinner. And then you get 1 hour of trick-or-treating.
Isn't that enough?
No, it's the experience for the kids. They get to walk around. They get to do things. To me, like, I don't know when it changed. This is very weird for me because when I worked in Racine, trick-or-treat was always the Sunday closest to the 31st. So wherever it was, and then it was from 4 to 7, and that was it. It's perfect.
You're done.
You get 3 hours. You get a little bit of dark. It's a little bit dark. It's not too dark, but then everyone, you can have a day. Like, you don't, but to me, Tuesday, you're just rushing the parents home and no one's having fun.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
I would just think that an hour of trick or treating is more than enough.
I mean, it just depends on
how old you are, where
you live, how many houses participate. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You want the kids to have a good time. I remember when I was a kid, we went like 10 blocks around the house. Like, we were all over the neighborhood. We had a full jack-o'-lantern
full of candy.
So I just feel like the kids are getting the short end of the stick here. They're getting the fuzzy end of this lollipop, I'm telling you that much.
It varies. Again, it varies from community to community. The city of Milwaukee had theirs yesterday.
See, there you go.
But our neighborhood had it on Friday night.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I would totally do that if my neighborhood, like, two, three blocks and said, like, all right, we're going to do our trick-or-treat on Sunday. That's totally cool. But, yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. It feels like you're putting the parents in an awkward position. The kids don't get as much as they'd like out of it. Because also they can come home and the kids can be like, let's go. It's like, well, I got to put down my stuff, get on my jacket or change right. or, you know, gobble down like a, you know, something, you know, it's, I don't know. It feels like it's very inconvenient for the parents and the children.
Do you have strong feelings about trick-or-treating hours?
I do.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. A very passionate Greg Bach.
Yeah.
Anti-trick-or-treating on Halloween.
No, I'm not against Halloween. Anti this method.
The 4 to 7.
The 4 to 7 on the day. Like, it's of a weekday. Like, I think I am pro Sundays or Saturdays, whatever's closest to the 31st.
To the day.
Don't paint me as some villain.
You're not a villain. I just had no idea.
I want everyone
to have this so seriously.
I like the trick-or-treating for the kids. They look cute in the costumes.
They absolutely do. Unfortunately, at least in Waukesha tomorrow, no one's going to be able to see their costumes because it's going to be snowing and cold.
Oofta.
Yeah. The forecast for tomorrow, snow showers likely, mainly before 4. Well, I guess that's good. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny. The high near 36. Breezy. 20-mile-an-hour winds in the afternoon. Wind gusts could hit as high as 30. Chance of precipitation, 70%. New accumulation around an inch.
Can I give a suggestion what you could do instead if you can't go out with the kids?
Sure.
If you got your bag of candy, just take some candies, hide them around the house.
That's a great idea.
Little candy hunt.
That is a wonderful idea.
And take pictures, take videos, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's gonna be. I just want the kids to have a good time, and that's sucky that it's gonna be so gosh darn cold.
So cold. I know. No one's gonna see your princess dress.
Oh,
dress up in a big parka and say you're an Alaskan native.
I'm a princess in a parka.
Princess parka. All right. Real quickly, Karina. We only got a couple of minutes. Thank you for calling. What do you want to say?
Agreed with Greg. It should be last Sunday on Saturday. And it proves the weather is better. The time is there. You can go. You can go far away. Absolutely agree with Greg. Last day before the Halloween.
All right. The closest weekday, the closest weekend day to Halloween should be the day.
Thanks,
all right.
Karina.
Thank you so much, Karina. Really appreciate it.
Starting a revolution.
Stay close for Todd Alba. He is coming up next. I hope you will join us tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 to recombobulate, and you as well. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Harry Pulliam. Thank you to all of you for calling and or texting.
Happy birthday, Calvin.
Happy birthday, Calvin. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Bordy sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard
then
smash.
You can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
Mash. Easy here, boy. You impetuous young boy. Mash.
Monster Mash.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WCFW Chippewa Falls and WRPQ Baraboo.